It's time to get In the Loop with LPS, the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. From the latest school and district news, updates on various district hot topics, and opportunities to meet all of those that help make LPS great, In the Loop with LPS is here to provide yet another opportunity for us to stay connected with you. So let's get started and send you to the longtime director of communications with Liberty Public Schools and your host of In the Loop with LPS, Dallas Ackerman.
We welcome everybody back. This is week two of In the Loop with LPS. I guess when you get through one episode and you're not canceled, that's a good thing. We're back for number two. I'm joined by Gary Majors this week. He is our longtime director of safety and security. We just heard the open, and in the open, at the end, they say, longtime director of communications, Dallas Ackerman. Should I be offended or flattered by that? Does that mean I'm getting old, Gary?
Yes, you're definitely getting older. I knew you when you were just a young pup. Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm a longtime communication director, you are a longtime safety and security director. Does that mean you're old?
I should be called the real longtime safety and security director because, yes, I'm much older.
Oh, my. Well, how's everything going for you in your world? I know with this, we got things started last week with our back to school, first day of school on the 23rd. Things seemed to go well as we greeted nearly 13,000 students. I know we heard nothing but good things out in all the schools, and I know you and your team, and we're going to talk about it, just all of our safety and security efforts, but things seem to be going well in your world as well.
Yeah, it was really nice the first day. It was sort of the culmination of a lot of hard work over the past summer and even last year in the sort of the plot and planning of doing a major increase in security staff that includes a security officer in every single elementary school this year, in all of our schools, but we included the elementary schools this year. And so it sounds really easy. Hey, go out and hire a dozen or so people that are qualified to come in and get them ready to go. But it's a bit of a daunting task, and I was very pleased that we were able to pull it off. And it was nice being out there on the first day of school and seeing the officers out there greeting the parents and greeting the students. And like you said, I heard a lot of positive response. We've already got several little anecdotal positive stories that have already came out the first week about the impact the officers have had at the schools.
I know you, and we're going to talk about in more detail the significant increase in our safety and security team here in just a moment. But what I thought I would first do, and we talked a little bit about this, I think, last week. I would like,
ninth year.
Mm-hmm. I want to have you take us back kind of on this journey over the last 9-10 years. And I've had a chance, being the longtime communication director, of course, I have seen over the last decade plus now how safety and security and the work has evolved. Could you take us back to when you first arrived here in LPS? You know what? Let's even go further back. Let's have you, for those listening out there that may not know your background, you have an extensive background in law enforcement. Could you just talk a little bit about that? And of course, keep it under an hour, because I know that you're not shy.
Well, that's true. I'm not. I had the great pleasure of working on the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department for 28 years. It's sort of a family business. My father retired from the KCPD. I currently have a son who's a sergeant there and a brother who just recently retired. So it's kind of a family business. I was there 28 years. I had various assignments that I held and various ranks that I held throughout the years, and I won't bore you with all those other than to say that I got to move around quite a bit. It was a lot of fun. Retired with the rank of major, so I was majors on the police department for several years, and it was at my retirement I was the division commander at the Linwood and Troost police station, which is known as Central Patrol Division, a job I truly, truly loved. On the police department, though, once you get 25 years, you can retire. And at that time, at 30 years, they just booted you out. They'd pack your office up and move you out. So knowing that I was too young to actually retire, I took another job with the city where I ran their what they call regulated industries department, which was sort of like liquor control. They regulated taxi cabs, pawn shops, that type of stuff. I did that for several years and enjoyed it, and got recruited actually to go work for KC Public Schools as a director of operations over there. And I was there about 2.5 years, and I had a friend call me and say, "Hey, we see this posting at Liberty Public Schools for a director of safety and security, and I think you'd be perfect for that. You ought to check it out." And so I did, and you know, did the application thing and was called in for an interview. But the story at Liberty Public Schools about safety and security actually starts a year before that. It started with the hiring of Dr. Tucker, who in turn, I believe, Steve Anderson, my boss, chief operating officer, he was, I think, one of Dr. Tucker's first hires. And one of his first tasks was to take a look around and see, you know, where we need to concentrate our efforts initially. And I believe Steve Anderson has told me that, you know, he went to Dr. Tucker and said, you know, we have a security is where we need to focus. We have, at that time, we had three SROs that worked part-time at six different schools. And then it would also, that would also include providing support to some of the elementary schools. So they were spread pretty thin. They hired off-duty highway patrol officers that kind of did some mobile patrol a little bit, a couple a day. The security director was actually a very nice guy that was, at that time, I think he was a highway patrol sergeant. He was later promoted in the highway patrol, but he was a 0.3 employee, which meant I think he worked, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours a week, and primarily it was to schedule the off-duty people. And so when an event would occur, it was a flip of a coin, to be perfectly blunt, whether or not he would even be in the city. Oftentimes they would call him and he was in Jeff City working for the Highway Patrol. And so the first thing that Mr. Anderson did was he said, we need a full-time safety and security director. And that started the process. And again, I was very fortunate to be selected for that position. And I'll never forget my first order that I got from Mr. Anderson was manage what we have, build what we need. And that sort of started the process. Dr. Tucker and Mr. Anderson both had already knew that they wanted to do something with secured entries, for example, to where a visitor has to be buzzed into the school, has to be buzzed into the office, and then has to be buzzed into the general population. And that gives you basically three bites at the apple to kind of get to know that person and what their intentions are before they ever enter into where this school actually is. And then we've just added layers upon layers upon layers as we've went over the years to our security program. So one of the first things that I did, for example, was develop a training program for active shooter training that all staff members have to attend every year to say what to do should there be an active shooter or emergency in your school. We added training for all the school leadership at the schools to talk about how to handle a critical incident that's not an active shooter. What happens if a tornado hits your building? What happens if a transformer falls off of a pole and lands on top of your gymnasium and is leaking caustic material and you've lost all your power and your internet, which is something that we have actually had happen. And the training that we provided worked perfectly in that situation. So we looked at that type of stuff. We looked at having a visitor pass management system that we added early on that says now when you come into one of our schools, rather than just sign your name on a log, which is what it was when I got here, now you have to present some sort of a governmental issued ID, and it does a instant background check on you through about 175 databases across America to see if you happen to be on a sexual offenders checklist. Now, it doesn't happen often, but about once or twice a year, sure enough, a vendor or a parent or somebody that comes in and wants to come into the school is on that list. And by law, they're not allowed to do that. So it allows us to stop that from occurring. We started a program on our camera systems. We certainly had a pretty extensive camera system when I got here, but we had no life cycle program. We had no program that says, I'm going to put this camera in today knowing I'm going to have to replace it in 8 years. And we developed a program. So now we have a budget and a plan in order to do that. We took what secured entries we had, and some of them were much better than others, and with the, again, Mr. Anderson's leadership and certainly our board, because there's a price tag to doing this. We went in and did a lot of remodeling of a lot of the schools to where now every school has that secured entry system. I will tell you, it's what the part I'm very proud of is we've had other school districts, we sort of led the area in this, and we've had other school districts who spent a lot of time in our district seeing how we've done it and have replicated it in their school districts. We started at adding our own security people. One of the things that we realized is we partner very closely with Liberty Police Department. It's been a very positive relationship. I'm very grateful for the work that they do for us. But policemen being policemen, if a building falls down in downtown Liberty, which one did, they pull all the resources, and then we have nobody in our schools for a few days. And we wanted to have some control over. We wanted somebody in there full time, not somebody who's jumping between two or three schools. And so we started hiring our own, what we call internal security officers. The vast majority of those officers have all got prior law enforcement experience. They're retired or they worked for 10 or 12 years in a law enforcement capacity. They've been through a police academy. They've worked the streets. They've dealt with dangerous situations for a long time, and they can be trusted to do the right thing should there be an active shooter or should there be some sort of a critical incident in a school. And so we started bringing them on. Now, initially, we brought them on and put them in the high schools. And then we decided we have as many kids almost at evenings in our schools as we do during the daytime. So then we added a couple more to work an evening shift. They work until 8 o'clock every night. It was so successful that last year we added a full-time security person in every middle school. So last year, every single day of every school day, we had an armed officer in every middle school and high school. Obviously, every time there's a school shooting, or a shooting, mass shooting anywhere, that's very well publicized, we get concerned parents. And although we had a couple of mobile officers last year that would go to every elementary school every day, they weren't spending 8 hours in those schools. They were just stopping by, very unpredictable when they would be there or not be there, which was somewhat by design. But this year, we took a very large step by adding an armed security person at every one of the elementary schools. So now there's somebody in the schools every day that that we have business going. Plus, we still have our mobile officers to add support. But even with that, there's even more and more layers that we have done over the years. We've upgraded radio systems from analog to digital to make sure that it's quicker and easier to communicate throughout the day. We've added software programs to, we can now have a formal system to document incidents, security incidents, whether it's a traffic accident in our parking lot, whether it's documenting if there's a slip, trip, or fall by an employee or by one of our patrons that are coming by the school. We have that ability to do that. We brought in something called Spriggio. That's the brand, Spriggio, but it's an anonymous way to report. It was initially designed to report bullying systems, bullying, when bullying occurs and you hit a button and it automatically sends it to that principal staff as well as the security staff, and they have one school day to investigate that, and that's been very successful. What we have found, it started being used for a whole lot more than just reporting bullying. I mean, I get reports that says, you know, why do we have to have chicken nuggets on Friday? To here's a possible misconduct that's going on in the bathroom, so-and-so is selling drugs here, so-and-so is doing this, so-and-so is doing that, and or so-and-so is about to fight somebody, and we're able to get in there and stop it before it ever starts. So that's been very, very positive. Some more layers of security, for example, is we partnered with the U.S. Secret Service and the FBI, and using the information they have gathered through extensive review of the school active shooter situations that have occurred over the last 30 years, have developed this sort of what to look for and be on the lookout for. And with that, we developed our own threat assessment program. So if we have a kid who chooses to make a statement, I hate this school, I'm going to blow it up, and if we're able to do a threat assessment, we're able to determine, does this kid have the means? Have they been planning it? Do they have access to weapons? Are they resilient? What do they plan on doing with their life? Do they have hope for the future? There's all these different areas. There's about 16, 17 of these areas that through having a conversation that usually lasts about 40, 45 minutes with the child, you're able to assess whether or not what level of threat they are. And if it's low level, sometimes it was just a joke and there was nothing more to do about it. You've learned your lesson, don't do it again. Sometimes there's a little bit of a worry, and so we institute a safety plan. Maybe that means you have to check into the office every time you come in the morning so we can kind of gauge how you're feeling. Or maybe you have to have your backpack checked, or maybe you shouldn't bring a backpack to school. In very rare instances, you'll run across a child who has got some real issues that need some help with them. And so we will educate them outside the school while they seek some mental health help from a mental health professional. And when everybody, including the mental health professional, feels like they're safe to return to school, then we bring them back to school. Dr. Tucker's sort of famous for saying, you know, we don't give up on children, and we don't even give up on these children who pose an initial threat, but we do want to make sure everybody's safe in our schools. So between looking at doors, by letting security be very involved in the construction projects that are going on and look at it from a security point of view, on how to build something and make it safe from the time we build it, to out exterior lighting, to doing annual reviews of all of our wood shops and science labs to make sure that they're all safe to be in. We just have layer after layer after layer that we've added over the last 8 or 9 years to again, make everybody safe. We want to create a safe and secure environment that's conducive to learning. If you don't feel safe in school, it's hard to pay attention to mathematics or history or whatever else you're trying to learn.
Gary, you are a podcast host dream. I just throw a question out and you run with it for 15 minutes. I appreciate that.
I figured I'd be better at it than you, so I thought I would.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Again, we are visiting with Gary Majors. He is our Director of Safety and Security here in Liberty Public Schools. And you've hit on it a few times, talking about the addition of your safety and security team with the armed security officers at our elementary schools, including the Early Childhood Center. And that really became kind of a hot topic leading up to the start of the 23-24 school year. You had a media interview on our Fox affiliate here in Kansas City, and I know that has gained a lot of attention here locally, a lot of positive early reaction from folks. Could you talk a little bit about this process, and then maybe even talk, I think people are very interested in the experience that this group brings, because these aren't guys that you have just picked up on a whim. They have impressive resumes.
Yes, they do. And that's not by accident. We have very high standards to bring people in. We knew and we know that there's going to be a lot of eyes on us, not only from our own parents that are within the district and our students, but also from other districts who are contemplating doing the very same thing. I think the best indicator of the future is the past. And so knowing somebody's past as far as what they've accomplished in their career is wise. We've all heard stories. I hate to even say these out loud, but you know, a school shooting where it was an actual police officer who stood behind a pillar waiting for it all to be over, or a shooting that goes on where people are waiting around in the hallway for 30, 40 minutes before they go in. That's not going to happen here in Liberty. First of all, the odds of it ever happening in Liberty is super, super remote. Your child is safer in school than they are anywhere else throughout their day. Statistically showing they're safer once they get to school than they were at home in their own bed before coming to school. So your children are safe. Now, just because I say it doesn't mean people believe it. And so this is the first year I can remember since I've been here. And maybe it's because we've promoted the fact that we've got these officers in our school. But every year, usually it's kindergarten parents, I'll get 4 or 5 of those phone calls. What are you going to do to keep my kids safe? And then, of course, if there is a shooting that occurs that's publicized throughout the school year, my phone really rings off the hook about, what about us? What are you doing to help protect us? I tell people all the time, I really want people to be concerned about security and safety, but not to be consumed by it. And so with that said is, as we're looking to bring people out here, we have to bring people in that people can quickly get to know and quickly trust. I encourage everybody to go to our website. And if you go to the Liberty Public School website, there's a section in there for security department. And I think just yesterday, we posted a photo of each of our security people and a very one paragraph resume on there. I have two former captains from the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department that recently retired that worked for us that have long, stellar careers. Several that were sergeants on various police departments that have very stellar careers as well. Others that have worked 7, 8, 9 years in local law enforcement. One of my favorite, I shouldn't say this, picking favorites of my officers, but one of our best, let me put it that way. He actually worked 26 or 27 years down in Texas and came up here and retired up to this area. And we hired him and he has been just phenomenal. And the way he interacts with the kiddos and with people. Bringing on this year at the elementary school, I have a retiring homicide detective that has worked years and years again in police investigations. Retiring canine officers, just a great depth of experience that is coming to us. Not every single one of them. I'm just going to be right up front because I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to be deceptive. I have one guy that had no law enforcement experience, but he was a command sergeant in the U.S. Army, retired, in which he led special forces in various countries around the world and has a great deal of experience in explosive situations and having to know when to do something and when not to do something. And that's really what I'm after. I'm looking for somebody who's got a great deal of experience in knowing when I need to take action and when I don't need to take action. Because until you've been through that a few times in your life, you never quite know how somebody's going to react. And so not only do we trust that that experience has taught them well, but then we've provided them a fair amount of training as well. And that's an ongoing process that we do.
Again, Gary Majors, the Director of Safety and Security here in Liberty Public Schools, our guest. This is In the Loop, and this is the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools, and visiting about the some of the additions to the safety and security team. And I, as a parent and with a spouse as a teacher in the district, I was extremely interested last week when we kicked off the start of the new year, how this was going to look. And I was excited to meet our safety and security officers in our elementary schools. And right off the bat, first of all, how incredibly personable these gentlemen were, and then just already seeing them building relationships with the staff, with the students, because I think that may have been a big question among parents and staff, would be just how they would fit into these school communities. And in my opinion, they're off to a big time start.
Well, I had no fears of that. You know, I can tell you that at the high school level, I encourage anybody, if you stop by a high school, just watch any member of the security team and watch the group of kids that are around them. Now, I'm not saying some of them act kind of as that mom figure. And I'll hear them say, hey, Bobby, I've seen you in the hallway now 2 hours in a row. Where are you supposed to be? Let me walk you over there to make sure you get there. And they're kind of talking back and forth, but it's all in a very positive way. I can tell how great the relationships are if they take a couple of days off and the principals be calling me saying, I got all these kids wanting to know when Officer True is coming back to work because they're all worried about her because she's not here. And it seems, too, that a lot of times the kids that have sometimes the biggest challenges doing well in school and kind of following the rules, they somehow are drawn to my security team. And it's been a great experience to watch that at the middle school level and certainly at the high school level. At the elementary level, it's the same thing. It's a brand new program. Will there be some bumps and bruises? I have no doubt there won't be. We'll be able to work through them. I'm sure we can. I can tell you that I've heard some great stories too the first week or so. I have an officer who was aware of a student. This student has a challenge with their weight. It's apparently severe enough. They have a hard time moving about and getting hardly any physical activity. And the officer recognized that, went to the principal, says, may I speak to the teacher and see if that child might like to accompany me 15 minutes a day as I kind of walk my rounds to make sure all the exterior doors are locked. And it would be an opportunity for the student to get moving and at least have some activity. And the principal gave permission, and the teacher said, I think that's a great plan. The kid was thrilled to do it and is actually somewhat exercising with, but doing so because they really want to have that relationship. Another example that I heard early on was a young kindergartner, I think, or first grade, a little girl that was reluctant to get off the bus in the morning. And they asked if the officer might want to talk to her, and he was up and got down on his knees and was chatting with her a little bit. And 2 or 3 minutes later, they came out smiling, holding hands, and he walked her to class. And then the only issue was she actually would prefer that he stayed in her class all day with her, which we didn't do. But it just shows you that sometimes having a different person talk with these kids, you're able to break through. It doesn't work every time. It just doesn't. But it's nice knowing that they can. Another example is, you know, I have one of the officers at workforce. He spent his almost entire career in the traffic division. He knows traffic patterns, and he was put at a specific school for a specific reason because they have a problem with pickup and drop-off and the traffic that it causes. And he's already made some very valuable recommendations on how to properly address that. We have another school where, hate to say it, but parents, you have to own it. You know, these parents don't do really well in their pickup line, and there's been known to jump the line. And when a teacher or principal says, hey, would you please not do that? They get, yeah, 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 but it never stops. The officer went out there, said, no, sorry, you need to go ahead and go around the loop again and come back in line. And the parent wasn't thrilled, but I think they recognized the uniform authority, and they complied, and I suspect they won't do it anymore. And so it makes all the other parents quite happy that there is some real order in the way things are being done. So the three directions, I guess I would say, I give all my security people, and I certainly did this at the elementary level, is number one, if there should be a critical incident that occurs in the school, leave no doubt what the expectations that I have of you, and that is to run towards it, engage, and stop it from happening, whatever that takes, above all else. And they all have to verbally tell me that they're prepared to do that. I leave no doubt about that. The second thing is that they're to do what the principals tell them to do. I mean, technically I'm their boss, but I'm not in the schools with them every day. And I say, the principals run that school, and if they ask you to do something, as long as it's not illegal or immoral, I expect you to do it. I partner very close with the principals, so that's not an issue. And then the biggest thing I expect you to do all day is build positive relationships with the kids. High five them, talk to them about, you know, the Chiefs or the Royals or whatever you do to connect and build that relationship with those kids, because that's invaluable.
Again, Gary Major, Safety and Security Director of Liberty Public Schools, so kind to join us as our featured guest here on In the Loop. This is week number 2 of our podcast of Liberty Public Schools. Great things happening within our safety and security department. We are I knew that you would not have trouble filling out a half an hour program, and you've provided some great information. I will give you that. And I know that you are extremely accessible. I know your team is extremely accessible. As we start to wrap things up here in the last few minutes, how can people reach you?
So the easiest thing to do is to just call and reach out to me. You can always email me as well. We're on the directory on the website. Our phone numbers are on the website. And just give us a call. I want to just plug one thing real fast, because you made me sort of think of it. There was last year after one of the school shootings, unfortunately, that occurred, that I had a parent call that was very, very concerned. And this is a perfect example of why I love parents calling me. Oftentimes they're concerned until I explain to them the systems that we have in place, because they just don't realize what we have in place. Once they understand what we have in place, the various layers that we have, they feel much better. But I had one parent that said, what is it that you as a district can provide us so we can talk to our child age appropriately mm-hmm. about school safety. And I thought, man, what a great idea. I wish I would have thought of it. And so we developed three little flyers, and it's they're talking to your student about school safety. And we have one set for middle school, one for high school. Actually, I guess we have four. One's third through fifth grade, and one's kindergarten through second grade. And these flyers are available at your school, and it's they just talk what you should share with your child or what you should tell your child to do should something bad happen in a school. And again, they're age appropriate. The idea is not to scare these kids. What a great idea. It's been hugely successful, all because some parent picked up the phone and said, hey, I got an idea.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? So I highly encourage parents to reach out. If you have concerns or questions that we can help with, we'll be more than glad to take care of them.
And you mentioned this a little bit earlier on, and I think we should definitely hit on it again. And that would be, you know, the fact that we have had all this success within LPS safety and security over the last decade would not be possible without our school board and our community. We've had a couple of big bond issues passed that have really made this possible.
Yeah, I'd like to say everything we've done was free, but it's not. There is a price tag to do it. It's a heavy lift sometimes. I've never once heard our board say anything but let's do what's the right thing to do on this. And same is true of Dr. Tucker and certainly Steve Anderson. And we've gotten a lot of support from the community who's went out and somewhat politicked for us, if you will, and said, yeah, this is something that's worth going and worth doing. And you're right, 100%. They have been nothing but supportive to us. Not possible. Not even close to possible without doing that. And that said, I'll maybe end with this or at least wind down with this. And that is all these safety measures in place, everything that we've got. And there's I get probably a half a dozen to a dozen emails or phone calls a day from people trying to sell me stuff that's going to make us even safer. Most of it won't. But the absolute number one thing that you can do to be safe, not only in school, but outside and around, is self-awareness. Practicing self-awareness, keeping yourself aware of your surroundings, and kind of thinking, if something would happen, what might I do in this situation? It doesn't have to be your every thought every time, but if you see something or you hear something, bring it home, have it around the dinner table, and say, hey kids, I heard this happened, and it's never going to happen here, but if it did happen, what would you do? And have them talk through that. It can be young. There's not a parent that hasn't temporarily lost a child in a grocery store or department store. And when you're back in the car going home saying, hey, you know, we were only apart 3 seconds, but if you had come around the corner and mom wasn't here, what would you have done? Have them talk through that a little bit. You're training your kid. Self-awareness is where it's at as far as keeping yourself safe. And then the last thing is that if you see something, you have to say something. If you have a hunch, say it, even if it's wrong. I tell people all the time, call security even if you don't think you're going to need them. Get the resources headed that way, and then if we're not needed, we're not upset about it. If you hear kids in the neighborhood talking about something that's kind of scary or you don't think it's right, reach out to the school. Let the principal know, and they will kick it off to us, and we'll take a look at it. And most likely, you're right, most likely it is nothing. But almost every one of the active shooters that have occurred, there's somebody that says, well, I did hear him say this, or I did see this, but I just didn't think enough about it to say anything. We want to make sure if you see something, you say something. We preach it to the kids. I want to preach it to the adults.
Good stuff, Gary. That officially wraps up episode number 2. Before we came on, you asked me who was the guest for our premiere episode. And of course, that was Dr. Tucker, our superintendent. I do not want you to get any ideas that you're the second most important person since you're the second guest of In the Loop.
I don't have to have that idea. I already know that's true.
No, Gary, in all seriousness, appreciate all you do. It's been great working with you over the years here. And again, I know for our listeners out there, if they have any questions, they'll certainly want to reach out. But you did give us some great information, and appreciate you donating your time here today.
Thank you, sir. Go Chiefs.
Gary Majors, Safety and Security Director. He is our guest this week. We want to thank everyone for listening. We'll have another tremendous guest the next time we convene here on In the Loop with LPS.
Thanks for choosing to spend a few minutes with us and getting in the loop with LPS. Don't forget, you can also stay in the loop with us by following Liberty Public Schools on our various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and by downloading our LPS mobile app for that mobile-friendly experience. This has been a production of the Liberty Public Schools Communications Office. For more about this podcast and all you need to know about LPS, visit our website at www.lps53.org.